an account of the most remarkable footsteps of divine providence in the erecting and managing the hospital at GLAUCHA without Hall. The introduction, containing the reasons and motives of this present narrative, whereas His Royal Prussian Majesty and Electoral Highness of Brandenburg, Frederick I, was in the year 1700 graciously pleased to inform himself in the exact manner possible concerning the hospital and the whole method there contrived for the better educating and cultivating of youth at GLAUCHA without Hall, and this by the care and management of four of his honorable private counsel. And whereas, after they had not taken only a strict survey of all particular relating for this affair, but ordered me withal to sit down to, in writing a full account thereof, expressing the most material circumstances of the whole design, which might prove serviceable for a right information of others, it so happened that the report of this royal commission, being extended far and near, gave birth to a world of tedious and important queries how our matters were now carried on. Therefore, I found myself under necessity of drawing up and publishing a short extract of what, with all submission, had been presented to His said Prussian Majesty and Electoral Highness of Brandenburg, annexing with all such things as since that time have happened and do now readily occur to my memory. The knowledge thereof may prove useful both to the public and also to particular persons, as conditioned to the advancement of the glory of our great God, reserving yet some things which may not concern every reader to know. Section 2. Notwithstanding the desired success of the commission aforesaid, graciously appointed for this purpose by our sovereign, many groundless reports and false summaries, nay, manifest untruths and slanders about this undertaking, have hitherto been raised, whereby the whole affair has been not a little obstructed. This, I think, is a sufficient warrant for anyone to expose to the view of all men the truth in its narrative simplicity, especially by such an historical account, in order both to vindicate his own innocency and to ward off the open assaults of malignant tongues. These considerations then have moved me to set down a free and impartial account of this affair, which nobody ought to look on as a private concern, it being undoubtedly a work designed and set up for public use and benefit. No man of any discretion or of a candid disposition will find reason to question the truth of what has been delivered in so plain a narrative, it being grounded partly on the inquiry of our governors and their fatherly care over their subjects, and partly on the evidence of the thing itself, which would give me just cause to fear that I should be convinced of the contrary if I had made the least attempt to violate the truth. Not to mention at this time that a man of probity and temper can never presume to cast any aspersion of falsehood upon the account here given, the undertaking here described being altogether void of visible supplies and of certainty of human supports, and depending entirely upon the blessing of God, so that if he should withhold the same, nothing less would ensue than a sudden declension and final overthrow of what has been so happily begun, since the using ill means to effect our design would cause the displeasure of God against it and deprive us of the influence of that divine benediction which we have hitherto enjoyed. But what is yet more for the purpose, I add, that for the sake of these who, being prejudiced against us, do not scruple to call in question the most evident things, which are even as clear as the sun at noonday, I testify in the presence of the living God, who is ready to bring the light to light the hidden truths of darkness, and will make manifest the counsel of the heart, that not one false word has willingly or wittingly been uttered in this whole discourse. Now if this, as the reason will not prevail neither, There is no other way, at least, to convince people that God Himself bears witness unto the truth by continuing His blessing upon us and granting success to our endeavors in this affair till He declare in the last day, before angels and men, that which now perhaps will not be believed. Section 3. We may here make a seasonable application of the words of the angel Raphael in the Book of Tobit, chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. It is good to praise God and to exalt His name, and honorably to show forth the works of God. Therefore, be not slack to praise Him. It is good to close the secrets of a king, but it is honorable to reveal the works of God. Now, whereas Satan hitherto by his instruments has diffused his virtual malice against this undertaking, spread abroad a world of lies and calamities, should not all this stir up a man's conscience by a true and sincere account to set the work of God against the lies of the devil, that so the mouth of the latter might be stopped and the name of the former highly extolled and manifested by all men? Moreover, we are required by the royal law of love to admonish our neighbors, if we see him sin against God, or to give him a seasonable caution when he is in danger of betraying himself into error. And whereas many have already violated their consciences by passing a rash censure upon the management of this affair, especially they whose judgment have been brazened by a multitude of false and groundless reports, which may give us just cause to fear that the impetuous course of such slanders, raised by ill-meaning people, might perhaps plunge them deeper into the guilt of willful and uncharitable reflections. 'Tis hoped this large account may prove useful to prevent the bad consequences of such ill practices in time to come. Now, whoever has been prejudiced against us may easily rectify his judgment by reading over this small treatise. But if he does not think this worthy his while, let him cease from speaking and thinking in the midst of our enterprises, or let him know that if he persists therein, he must expect to be called to give an account by God, the righteous judge, for these his uncharitable proceedings. Section 5. And further, 'tis our duty to consider one another, to provoke unto love and good works. Hebrews 10, verse 24. Wherefore, being well assured that many persons have been already excited by the report of this work, more industriously to provide for the poor and afflicted, it gives us a better ground to hope that this full narrative, laying open to every man's view the whole scope of the undertaking, will produce a still happier effect, and revive in many souls a true sense of Christian charity, wheresoever and to whomsoever it comes, which may the more rationally be expected after the confutation of such false and slanderous reports as hitherto have cast an odium upon this affair, and the subsequent declaration of the truth freely presented to the reader. Section 6. When, after 3 or 4 years ago, but a short account of the rise and progress of our undertaking, so far as it was then advanced, under the blessing of God, was drawn up and presented to the public, it did not produce any ill, but rather good effects in the mind of such as read it, and proved an occasion of extolling the name of the Lord in many places, so that several editions of the historical account then published were sold off in a little time, and the continuation thereof most earnestly desired. But since this work has considerably increased in many remarkable instances of the wonderful providence of God declared, so that the former narrative is upon no account to be compared to this, we may from thence reasonably infer, and this will still produce more noble effects and lustrous goodness of God in a more conspicuous manner. Section 7. To instance, in one particular I can assure the reader that many souls, laboring both under perjury or worldly estate, and want of confidence in God, might have mightily been supported and strengthened by this his signal providence manifested in this affair. Nay, even upon the hearing of some one instance wherein the Lord hath been a present help in the day of necessity and trouble. And though they who depended upon the abundancy of their riches, and have but little regard to their duty of depending upon God, shall be called to an account for the haughty and scornful construction, they perhaps will put upon this narrative, yet I am sure that those who are assaulted with temptations, defiancy, or lying under poverty or other distress will be thankful to God for so many evidence demonstrations that God is still the same He hath been in times of old, and never leaves them in confusion that cast their care upon Him, and learn with patience to wait for the appropriate time of His gracious visitation. Section 8. The works of God have commonly the greatest influence upon future ages. On the contrary, they in whose time they were done to commonly undervalue them, and harden themselves against them by permitting themselves to be overswayed by ungrateful unbelief. Therefore, 'tis hoped that God, according to His infinite mercy and goodness, will hand down this present narrative for a memorial to after ages, that they may magnify His name and acknowledge that He only is the Lord Almighty, and there is none like Him. These are the real motives which have induced me to the publication of this present account. If anyone should offer to brand me with the imputation of some other design and charge me with ambition, vainglory, self-interest, or any other aspiration of that nature, I will leave him to God in his own conscience. I will add but one thing. Judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, at whose coming every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. The Lord direct all our endeavors to his own honor and benefit of our fellow creatures, which is the hearty wish of the author. End of the introduction, and been read by Peter John Parisis.